Joseph is one of those characters that in almost every area of his life, he typified the Lord Jesus Christ. There is so much about him that is profitable for you and I to study. And you will be aware, some of you, that some time ago we did look for a number of weeks at the life of Joseph together. Someone said something very interesting concerning him, and they said that Joseph served three apprenticeships. He served one of them governing the nation, one of them governing Potiphar's house, and he served the other one in prison. Now, at the point we have come to in the early part of chapter 41, his dreams as a 17-year-old, chapter 37 in the book of Genesis, have still not come to fruition. I don't know what was in his heart regarding those dreams, that promise that the Lord had shown him, but I know this, that very soon there would be a huge change in his life when God would, in an unusual way, intervene again to bring glory to his name. He would be put over Pharaoh's house. And he was made really what could be referred to as the prime minister of the land. Now, as I said, there's so much in his life that is profitable for us to study as Christians. And we can learn from his characteristics. He was a man of great integrity. He was a man who very often in his life had to put others first. And he did that. And on other occasions when he didn't have to, he still did it. And certainly we learn very much from his life. But when you look at him here before us this evening, being brought out of prison, we see here a picture of what happens to a man or woman whenever they are brought out of the dungeon of sin and they're placed upon that rock that we spoke about this morning. They're brought to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Obscurity is the place where he was, and that is where every sinner is, in that place where the heart is darkened because of sin. We read in the Bible of man's original sin, and you and I are caught up in that because Adam's sin is passed upon us. But there's also actual transgression, and I think that needs little explanation tonight. We're all very aware of how able we are to sin, and it is because of our darkened heart. But man also has a darkened hope. It's great to have hope. And for the Christian, as I've said so often, irrespective of everything else that we don't have. I remember Morris Morrow, it was, in Dungannon when he was a Sunday school superintendent. At the end of the year, he was just speaking to those who were leaving and moving on, I believe, to Bible class. And he said, whatever you miss in this world, and then he was truthful, he says, there'll be plenty that you'll miss, plenty that you won't get. He said, whatever you miss, don't miss God's salvation. And whatever you get, and he said, I wish you all well. And he said, whatever you get, you make sure you get his salvation. I've always remembered those words. And folks, it's good to have the hope of the gospel, especially the hope that the Christian has. But those who are not saved tonight are sitting in darkness, a darkened heart, a darkened hope. And at this moment in time, another opportunity. Another opportunity if you're listening here to the message tonight. And as we look at this passage, we see how God, a picture of how God can take a man from the depths and raise him to the heights. Joseph was in prison through no fault of his own, but he was brought out of prison. And whenever he interpreted the dreams in a way that was pleasing to Pharaoh, read in verse 14 that he was brought out of the dungeon. But there's another verse that shows us what Pharaoh did for him. And what Pharaoh did for him is symbolic in that it shows us what happens to men and women when they come to the Saviour. I've just given a simple title to the message tonight, Marks of Being Truly Born Again. Marks of Being Truly Born Again. I want you to notice here, as we notice these marks of being truly born again that are shown to us symbolically as Joseph is brought out of prison, notice here that he had new clothes. Look at verse 42. It says there in the middle of the verse, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen. You all know what prison garb is like. Certainly in modern days, when you see it on television, it's often that stripy pajama type stuff with a number on the side of it. And it always, when we see that, it reminds us we need to behave ourselves, because we don't want to be ever wearing that kind of clothing. But whenever he came out of prison, his clothing was changed. Now you can imagine the atmosphere there. You had Pharaoh, he was pleased. You had his servants looking on in probably what was unbelief in the way that Pharaoh was behaving towards Joseph. And then you had God working all the time. Many commentators say that robes of fine linen are the priestly garments. They are the very best that is available. So now you have Joseph, he's just been raised out of the prison, and he's dressed in the best that Pharaoh here can afford. His name is cleared. Remember Potiphar's wife and what she said about him. And now really you can say about him that he is an a totally esteemed person. He's an esteemed person. Now, when you look over in the book of Esther, in chapter 8, it's the verse 15, it says, and Mordecai went out from the presence of the king. Remember who Mordecai was. Naaman wanted to destroy him, because you must admire Mordecai when he refused to acknowledge Haman day after day, and Haman was furious. I really like the part where he refused to acknowledge him, and Haman didn't like it at all. But things have turned around, as so often is the case when the Lord steps in, and the king now has given great favor to Mordecai, who actually in the Bible is often seen as a type of Christ. And it says in verse 15, and Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel. He went out in royal apparel. He's dressed totally different. One thing, one moment, as far as Haman is concerned, Mordecai's in death row. It's just a matter of time until he and all the other Jews will be destroyed. And effectively, that could not have happened, because that would have destroyed the lineage of Christ. But however, it was a time of great crisis for them. Mordecai now, he is an esteemed person. And men and women, whenever God comes along to any man or woman or boy or girl in the prison house of sin, and I just want to say that he comes along tonight to men and women in the prison house of sin. Wherever you are, whoever you are, and whatever you have done, he comes now. He comes to the place where people are gathered for worship like this. And he moves by his spirit from seat to seat, shows men and women their sin, shows them Christ and his redemptive work, his ability to save from sin and to make men and women secure in him. He shows us all of those things in the very church pew. But he also comes along to places where there's great unhappiness, into broken areas, into destroyed lives. And he comes along and shows men and women what sin really is. Around the average estate or development now in Northern Ireland, and ask any person what sin is, you will get a great variety of answers. No doubt there'll be Christians there that know exactly what it is. But many people will see as pleasure and everyday life the things that you and I know are sin. But a very good definition of it is given in the Catechism. It is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. And let's face it tonight, sinner. You, like me, you don't need it to be brought down and to be defined for you. Because like me and like many other people in this gathering and similar gatherings this evening, you could write a book detailing your sin. You know what it is. You know what it does to you. But when God steps into a life and he comes along as he does tonight, whether it's in a place of worship, whether it's in some den of iniquity, some pub in the corner, right at this moment, God can take men and women out of that prison house of sin, that place of condemnation, and he can take them and he can give them a new clothing. A new clothing. I want to read about it over in the book of Isaiah, chapter 61 and verse 10. It's a verse I'm sure you know so well. Here's a happy man. He says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Weddings are still, generally speaking, times when people get nicely dressed up and brides get on their lovely dresses and lots of other bits and pieces. And the bridegroom, he tidies himself up fairly well too. But way back in those days, getting dressed up was a really big issue. And they went to great lengths, and so often it was very, very extravagant. And that is the comparison that the writer here makes when he speaks of the robe of righteousness. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. The thought is of completely covered. Do you remember all the sins that we mentioned that we could put in a little book tonight? Well, whenever a man or woman will come to the Lord Jesus Christ and they're robed in the righteousness of Christ, then those sins are gone. And I want to say to you tonight, men and women, if you entertain any hope ever of heaven, you must be robed in this righteousness. It's imperative that you have it. There's a great illustration given there in Matthew 22, the parable of the marriage feast. The king here has come to see the guests, and it says, and when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It says in verse 12 that he was speechless. He had no excuse. He was without excuse. He knew about the need for a wedding garment. And men and women, the Bible speaks about the marriage supper of the Lamb. And if you want to be there, then you need this change of clothes. You need to take off what the Bible calls the robes or the rags of our righteousness, because that's all they are. All our righteousnesses. All of them. That's heavy tidings for some people. There are people in Northern Ireland tonight, and they do a great deal of good to help other people. Sometimes I feel embarrassed and ashamed. People who work really, really hard for the benefit of other people, sometimes for very, very little reward and sometimes for none. And as far as their caring spirit is concerned and their generosity of heart is concerned, it's unsurpassed. There's no doubt about that. You could say concerning them, they've done a lot, which is right, but the Bible says all our righteousness, even people like that, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in his sight. What do we need? We need the righteousness of Christ. And that righteousness becomes ours through faith alone in Christ alone. Remember, and I'm sure everyone here and everyone who will listen in sermon audio know the story in Luke 15 of the prodigal son. And how often we view him as a man who has lived wildly. He's turned his back on the father. But then he comes home And it says there in Luke 15 that the father put on him the best robe. He put on him the best robe. And the best robe, he was out living with the pigs, remember. That would mean cleanliness. It would mean comfort. And it would mean cheer for him. Because he had been in the mire of the pigsty, he'd known nothing of comfort, and his heart was so downcast, he was going to eat the food that was given to the pigs. He came to the father's house, and the father put the best robe on him. And men and women, when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we don't exaggerate tonight, when you will come to him in repentance, you will be robed in heaven's best. You will be given an esteemed position. Just as Mordecai was there, he was robed in king's apparel. Over there in 1 Peter chapter 2 and is it verse 9, here's another description of those who come to the Lord. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Royal garments are the best. And folks, tonight, that can be yours if you will but come to him. But I have to say this evening, as God looks round, not only this congregation, but as he looks round every gospel preaching congregation in the country tonight, he doesn't see the designer labels or anything like that. But he sees what man is robed in regarding salvation and regarding self-righteousness. In other words, he sees you still in that prison house of sin in your rags. Or he sees you out of it in Christ. And one of the marks of truly being born again is that you have the righteousness of Christ. There are thousands of our fellow countrymen who can't say that tonight. They could talk here for a long time about other things. But they cannot say they have the righteousness of Christ. Do you have this new clothing, this righteousness? But another mark of being truly born again, which is shown symbolically here in what's done for Joseph, is that he is brought into a new family. It says there in verse 42 of Genesis 41, and Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand. This, we believe, was a signet ring. This particular type of ring would have been dipped in wax and imprinted upon a document, and that document became a decree, or it was the law. It was a very significant authority. You can read about it there in Esther chapter 3, verses 8 through 12 as well. It shows that this person has been given a very special situation. And again, we're back to Luke 15. Remember the father there, when the prodigal came back, not only did he give him the best robe, but he put a ring on his hand. And a ring is symbolic of union. When we got married, we put a ring on our wife's finger, and she put one on ours as well. And those of you who are not married yet, maybe thinking about it, that's what you'll have to do. But a ring is symbolic of union, or just also very closely associated with sonship. Remember, the Lord Jesus came to his own. As I've said before, and I'm sure most of you are aware, they expected a military leader. And they looked for that. And he said, you will not come to me that you might have life. I wonder, does he say that to you tonight? But he also said on another occasion, it says concerning him, as many as received him, John 1 and 12, as many as received him, to them gave he power, or the word means authority. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And the reference is there to men and women who've been brought out of sin and have been brought into his family. We call it adoption. Being adopted into the family and fold of God. When a little child or a child is adopted into a family, it becomes a legal member of that family. And that is what has happened to every child of God if we are truly born again of God's Spirit. For there in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8, read what it says there for you. Romans 8 and verse 15. It says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, or Father, Father." Men and women took out of the pit of sin, the dungeon of sin, and brought into the family and fold of God. Again in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 3, it says, "Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." And men and women, that's what you and I have received. And not only tonight has the Lord given to those who are truly born again new clothing, the old rags are gone. Oh, we're not perfect, but we don't claim to be. But Christ is perfect, and his righteousness is perfect, and we're robed in it. We've got the new clothing, we've got the new family, but another mark of being truly born again is a new standing. A new standing. If you would look there, please, at verse 42 again. It says, "And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and he put a gold chain about his neck." This is showing to all of us the evidence of his worth. You see, once the sinner, or tonight indeed, those who are still unsaved, are chained by an iron yoke, chained by sin. And many believe that that could have been the experience of Joseph as well. But literally, his chains were gone. And for the Christian tonight, those who've been saved, our chains are gone. He breaks the power of cancelled sin and he sets the prisoner free. And the thought behind the chain here is that he's been given a completely new standing. You see, he's in a new place. He's in the company of the leader of the land. And the man or woman who comes to Christ, they are in a new place. They've been brought into the company of Christ. He's among a new people there. He's among royalty. And that's, as I've already read in Peter's epistle, that's where God's people are tonight. A new place, a new people, and a new preciousness. Pharaoh here is showing to everyone around him that this man, Joseph, he is of great importance and of great value. I just want to say tonight that when the vilest man or woman turns to Christ, this is their experience. And that is the great hope of the message that we have. Every now and then, over the years, we see this happen. We all want to see it happen more, and in all our churches, we want to see it happen more. And right across this nation, Christians want to see it happen more. But when it happens, when men and women are born again, they're giving that new clothing. They're giving that new family, and they're brought in, and they're given that new standing. And Christian, I want to say to you tonight, you're the apple of his eye. Sometimes preaching... Christians get to the point where they're very low self-esteem, and you go out there and you get kicked about a bit by the world. It doesn't help you any. But I want to say to you tonight, you are the apple of his eye. You've been clothed in his righteousness. You've been brought into his family. You have been given a new and a very valuable standing in him. These are all very notable changes in Joseph's life. And if you're born again tonight, those changes will be there. And tonight, if you can't look back and say, "Well, I do have this righteousness," if you can't say, "I can never remember the time when the chains fell off," and if you can't say tonight that "I can't ever remember being the thought of being born again, the burden being gone," then you need to really look at your heart this evening. Because remember the title tonight, Marks of Being Truly Born Again. Marks of being truly born again. I want to mention one final thing that Joseph had. Remember Joseph, we don't find him asking for very much. He never was a man who was out just to see what he could get. And we know that when he was in prison, he didn't like it. He didn't like it. And when he interpreted the dreams there of the beggar and the butler, he asked them, and it's emphasized a couple of times, he was asking them to please remember him. He didn't like it when he was there. But now he's out. Verse 14 shows us he was brought up from the dungeon. And that really brings us back to the very start of what we wanted to say. This was it. This made all of the difference. Being brought out of the dungeon of sins. This was the start of it. Then he had the robe and the ring and the recognition. I want to say tonight that if you do not call upon Christ, you can listen to me preaching as often as you want, but you will never be out. You will never be out of sin. I think we mentioned Psalm 40 this morning, verse 2. The psalm was talking about the Lord having brought him out of the miry clay. How do you get out without Christ? How do you ever get out without him? But rather tonight, you're still under sin's condemnation. As the Bible says, the wrath of God abides upon those that are not saved. We can say about that wrath that it is deserved. It is enduring. And it's far worse than you can possibly imagine. And you need to get out of there. You need to get out of the dungeon of sin. You need to get out of the dungeon of sin. What if God tonight, in effect, were to turn the key and to throw it away? Oh, you've turned your back at him. Rejected him time and again. But whatever, he would return the key tonight and throw it away and say, that's it. Let him go. Or let her go. Men and women, it's the beginning of a new year. It can be the beginning of a new life for you. The marks of being truly born again, every one of them can be yours right now. New clothing, robed in Christ's righteousness. New family brought into the family of God. New standing, showing your worth and value to him. That's what the Bible says. We are the apple of his eye. And it all begins with new freedom whenever you trust the Lord. I wonder will you come tonight. I trust the Lord will help you to do that. And this will not only be a great night for you, that there will be a great future for you as one of the Lord's. From that day forth, Joseph did great things and certainly was a man who knew much of the blessing and prosperity of the Lord. You can know that as well. Don't serve sin any longer. Get it dealt with tonight. Come and trust the Savior. We do thank